Terry's getting out for one day, right? He's only getting out for one day. That's a good question. The only thing I can think of is that maybe he's not taking for granted that you can know for sure what will happen in prison. After all, they're arifing you one day out, right? So why are they doing that? But if you knew for sure, if you knew for sure that you were going to live, and that they, and you would have to be in front.
I mean, the reason they do that is that because you shouldn't push off the mitzvah, not because. I mean, I think somebody can say it's obvious that he's going to be allowed to any day you want.
Yeah, but why shouldn't you put off the mitzvah?
Why shouldn't you?
Why should you not push off the mitzvah? Why not? Why not push it off? Oh, so that's what I'm saying. I think you have to go a little further behind it and ask. If you know that the future mitzvah is going to be a bigger mitzvah, why shouldn't you push off the mitzvah? Well, we do things like that. When we invest in mitzvahs, and sometimes we have to invest in a mitzvah, you have to give up mitzvahs now in order to make the bigger mitzvah later. Anyway. Talking about gratitude, Hakaras HaTov, the batteries are not now set properly. There is a very big problem about Hakaras HaTov, to which I think I have a solution. I wouldn't say I'm sure, but I think I have a solution. So let me rehearse the problem with you, and then we'll try to work towards a solution and see whether my solution will withstand scrutiny. A course of hope is gratitude. Gratitude means I realize something good has happened to me. That's a fact that I understand, that I realize, and I react to that fact with a feeling of thanks. That's not obvious that will be the feeling. Sometimes someone can do something good for you and do it in such a way that he makes you feel like a worm, and then you know that he's just using it as a way to put you down. And that you don't feel thanks, you feel angry and frustrated and you wish you hadn't done it, even though it is objectively good for you. But you don't want that kind of good. You don't want those kinds of favors. But no, in this case we're thinking of where the person feels gratitude, he knows something good has been done to him, and he feels thanks, and then it's appropriate for him to express thanks. The Torah makes great principle out of the expression of Hakaras HaTov, out of gratitude, both to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to people, and even to, I would say, other things where Hakaras HaTov would may sound to be very exaggerated. Let's start with the top. We have a holiday. Two holidays, maybe three holidays, whose basic theme is expressing gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For example, which holidays do we have in mind here? Passover for sure, right? Passover gave us our freedom from slavery, freedom from Egypt. And the basic theme is to express our gratitude for that tremendous gift, that tremendous good that he did for us. Also, Hanukkah, again, a kind of freedom. In this case, we had to fight for it, but obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the victory in the war, and we are expressing the gratitude for that victory. What else? Rosh Hashanah is really built on gratitude. Purim, same thing. There we were in danger of being annihilated, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us. So again, we're expressing gratitude for... Alright, Shavuos, we received the Torah, something for which we definitely ought to feel gratitude. In fact, Chazal described the Torah as a matana tova, as a great gift that I have to give you. Shabbos, the Torah. And we're expressing our gratitude for the receiving of the Torah. Also, gosh, you mentioned the little ones. How about the other big one? No. Although you could there too. No. Sukkot. What about Sukkot? What is Sukkot? Well, not exactly. Historically, what happened? What does Sukkot commemorate? Not the tents. The Ananei Kavod, the clouds of glory that protected us for 40 years in the wilderness. And again, it's good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. And we are expressing our gratitude. That's not all we're doing, but we definitely are expressing our gratitude for the care that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took of us in the wilderness. So that's pretty much a blanket theme of the festivals. Rosh Hashanah, maybe not. Yom Kippur, maybe thankfulness for being given the opportunity to be forgiven. It's a pretty blanket theme. And therefore, and the Rabbanim, when they set up Purim and Hanukkah, did so in part to express that theme, because the theme is clearly part of the Torah that we got from Moshe Rabbeinu, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So obviously, when there's an appropriate opportunity to express that theme, it's appropriate to express it even in new circumstances. And that's why they created Purim and Hanukkah. Then, Rav Dessler, in his Kuntres HaChesed, in his essay on loving kindness, says that the expression of gratitude is really a symptom of the essence of your soul. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in order to do good. Some of you have heard this from me now 163 times. Right? Chesed, loving kindness. In order to do good. And he put into the soul of every person a natural desire to do good, to benefit, to give to others. Everyone has a natural need to benefit others. This is a deep-seated psychological need. I don't know if they say it in English anymore, but we used to say everyone needs to be needed. Because if someone needs me, it means I can do something good for him. If he needs me, then I'm doing something very good for him. Something he very much depends upon. And that makes me feel like I'm doing something. That's why people, when they retire from their jobs, often go into a decline. Because nobody needs them to do anything anymore. Ah, I've spent my life playing golf. But nobody cares whether you play or not. Nobody's waiting for you at the tee. Nobody's counting your score. And therefore they go into decline. Because they're not able to give. Now, suppose somebody gives me something. So where am I? My soul has in it this natural principle of giving. And now I'm receiving. I'm not giving. The other person's giving. So there can be, and for most people there is, a felt contradiction. A contradiction to who they are. And that's why people keep score. People keep score. Who gave me my birthday presents? When does he have a birthday? How much did he spend? And I always spend the same or maybe a little more. Why? Because I don't want to be dependent on someone else. I don't want to feel that I'm having to lean on him. I want to be the giver. Okay, now, somebody gives me something, it's going to take me a while. It's going to take me a while before I can pay him back. Think of how deliciously ambiguous that phrase is. Pay him back. Ah, but I can say thank you right away. And what happens when I say thank you? When I say thank you, he feels good. My thank you makes him feel good. Because he knows I appreciate what he did. And I know that my thank you makes him feel good. So that by making him feel good, I've already started to pay him back. I've already started to pay him back. My thank you expresses me the giver. That's why it's very frustrating when you do something for somebody and he starts to say thank you and you say, ah, don't thank me. That's very frustrating because you are depriving him of the ability to start to pay back. And he wants to start to pay back. Imagine how frustrated you would feel if somebody did something for you and you started to express your gratitude. Oh, don't bother, don't thank me. You feel cut off. So expressing gratitude is a fundamental element in human relationships where you as giver can express yourself even at the moment when you're receiving for somebody else. The Chaim Shmuel Levitz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, has an essay on gratitude. And he brings a number of statements from Chazal, from the Talmud, from the Midrash, which are really very surprising. How far gratitude is supposed to go. Some of you know from the past few weeks, from the beginning of Shmos, when the plagues took place in Egypt, who struck the river with the stick to turn it into blood? Aaron. Why not Moses? Because the river saved him. The river saved him. Pay attention, boys. The river saved him. How could Moses hit the river that saved him? I mean, you know, that's just not nice. You just can't do that. And who hit the ground to bring forth the lice? Aaron. Why? Because he buried the dead Egyptian in the ground, and the ground hid the dead Egyptian. And so, how can Moses hit the ground? You know, you just can't do that. And when Moses is by the well in Midian, and he saves the daughters of Yisro from the shepherds, and they come home, and they come home earlier than they usually come home, and Yisro, their father, says, how come you came home so early? And they say to their father, Ish Mitzri Hitzilanu Min Aroim, an Egyptian man saved us from the shepherds. Whom do they mean by the Egyptian man? Moses. Because probably he dressed and looked like an Egyptian man. But what does the Midrash say over there? Does anybody know? That's what Moses said to them. When they tried to thank him, he said, don't thank me. Thank the Egyptian. How many decades ago? Thank the Egyptian who hit the Jew, whom I killed, who then was discovered that I killed him, and therefore I became a fugitive, and that's how I ended up at the well to be able to save you. It's because of him. Thank him. Have gratitude to him, because he was hitting a Jew. Because through his hitting the Jew, all of this came into existence. And the Midrash says that a man was bitten by an arod. Arod is some kind of poisonous reptile. And he ran to the river to wash out his wound. And in the river, someone was drowning. So he jumped into the water and saved the drowning person. And when the drowning person said to him, thank you for saving my life, he said, don't thank me, thank the arod. I'd had the arrow not bitten me, I wouldn't be here. So thank the arrow that bit me so that I would come here and save you. Now, what is going on here? Maybe this is sort of carrying things too far. To have gratitude to a river, to the ground, to a vicious Egyptian who's beating a Jew, to a poisonous reptile? I mean, how far are we supposed to take gratitude? And these are all statements of Chazal. So this is not, you know, it can't be wrong. There.
Just a side point. This doesn't necessarily mean that the Egyptian, for example, gets rewarded.
Oh, good. I'm glad you mentioned this. Let's just register the limitations here. The river got hit. The river got hit. Because Moses didn't do it. Moses didn't stop Aaron from hitting. Moses didn't protest to God. How can you tell him to hit the river? It did me a favor. I've got to stop it. But just he didn't do it. Right? Moses didn't hesitate to kill the Egyptian who was striking the Jew. And later, when he saved the daughters of Yisroel and then married one of them, he didn't regret retroactively having killed the Egyptian, because he was the instrument of such good, and we have to have gratitude to him, and maybe I shouldn't have killed him. No. So let's make sure we understand the limitations on the idea. There is an attitude of gratitude, and there's an aspect, a relationship of gratitude, but it doesn't stop you from doing what has to be done. Now, there are two ways to analyze this. This isn't the big question I was going to come to. That's coming a little bit later. We had in last week's parsha, build for me an altar. Don't go up on steps to the altar, so that your nakedness shall not be revealed on it. So therefore we build a ramp. Right? Your nakedness shall not be revealed on the altar. By the way, a good question to ask your teachers is, how come then you have steps up to the menorah? The Kohen actually walked up three steps to the menorah. You can ask that. It's a nice question. But leaving that aside for the moment, that's not my question tonight. It's just something for you to think about. What difference does it make if the nakedness is revealed to the altar? And it isn't really right. They wore pants underneath the tunic. But okay. Even an action that otherwise would have. But what difference does it make? It's a question of something that no human being can see. Do you know why we cover the challis Friday night before we make Kiddush? Yeah, how could it be embarrassed? What you know what the halach is? What's going on over there? No, but where would the embarrassment come from? If you have bread and wine, you really should make the blessing on the bread first and the blessing on the wine second. Friday night, you're going to make Kiddush, you're going to reverse it. So the bread is being passed over in favor of the wine. Well, you know, that's really not very nice. So cover up the bread so it shouldn't experience its degradation, its embarrassment, that it's being passed over, not given its appropriate place of being first. This is bread. So one answer that is given is that if you're trying to train people in certain attitudes, you give expression to those attitudes as often as you can. The more you reinforce the attitude, the more deeply ingrained and natural it will become. Even if you enforce the attitude, train the attitude, in cases where, strictly speaking, it doesn't apply, still, even so, the attitude will be reinforced. They say that someone had to give a shiur, and two classes combined into one classroom, and they were short some chairs. Two students went out to get chairs, and they came in, they put the chairs down, and they sat. And the teacher said, "You made a mistake. You should have gotten the chair for him, and he should have gotten the chair for you." That's two people getting two chairs. And each one needs to sit down. Doesn't matter. I'll tell you where you can apply this in your own lives. You go to the wash sink to wash your hands. After you're finished washing, fill the cup and leave it there. Leave it full. Then the next guy comes, he doesn't have to fill it up. He knows somebody filled it for him. And after a while, you'll find that other people will fill it up also. So when you come, you find it full waiting for you. And when you leave it full for the next person. Everybody fills once, just like before, but you don't fill for yourself, you fill for the other person. It creates a different consciousness. So here, if you express, if you ask yourself, something good happened, let's trace it back. Let's unravel it. Trace it all the way back. And let's apply that feeling of gratitude all the way back. So you're extending it. You're training yourself to look at the history of something, to see where it came from, and to apply your sense of gratitude all the way back. That's a way of ingraining the sense of gratitude, making it stronger, making it more natural. Yeah.
The example about filling the cup for the next person, you were paying it forward.
Yeah.
Like in the movie.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And by the way, I learned this from the biography of the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And since I read it in his biography many years ago, I started doing it in a certain place where I wash, and now I would say about 50% of the people do it. Just because when you find it full, you think to yourself, well, what about the next person? And I'm not just going to use it and run. I'll fill it for the next person. It changes your whole orientation.
But aren't you worried that someone might spray his hands and come in water on it?
You mean after he's finished? No, I understand. If he's finished washing, his hands are torn. They're not tummy. If he does it right, the chances that'll be left overnight are pretty slim. Anyway. Now, that's one element. The other element is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after all, is the one who brought this benefit into the world. The way in which he brought it into the world is not trivial. You shouldn't look only at the end result. You should ask yourself, what means did he choose by which to bring it into the world? The means are also deserving of special recognition and special respect. One proof of it is honoring your parents. In the Shulchan Aruch, the question is raised, suppose someone's parents are not righteous people. Let's suppose they are, God forbid, wicked people. Does the child owe his parents honor and respect, even if his parents are wicked people? And it's a split. Some say yes and some say no. Those who say yes, explain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose them as the instruments by which to bring you into the world. When you honor them, and when you show respect for them, you are really seeing them in a chain going back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you are expressing your special relationship to them as part of the chain that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu used to deliver that benefit to you. And then it doesn't make any difference who they are personally. There's still links in that chain that brought it to you. So it's part of acknowledging HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the source of the good to go back all the links in the chain. And then we get back to Kodesh Baruch Hu, who was the one who engineered it. That's one idea about the extent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of gratitude. And indeed, many say, many of the works of Jewish philosophy say that gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all that he has done for us is one of, if not the most important, foundation of our service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, to a great extent, our way of saying thank you. He gave us and gives us so much. When he tells us what he wants us to do, we jump at the opportunity to do it as a way of expressing our gratitude for what he has done and continues to do for us. Now, let's come to the problem. Let's take the Exodus from Egypt. We were slaves for about 90 years. We were there longer, but we came in as nobility. We came in as the family of the second in command. Took decades before there was the slide into slavery. But we spent about 90 years in slavery. It's good 2-3 generations. Ah, but Baruch Hu took us out. He took us out. And that was a great benefit. Took us out from slavery, gave us freedom, and all the rest. What about the slavery? Wasn't he behind the slavery also? I mean, nothing happened by chance. Nothing happens by accident. Yes, he took us out, correct, with great miracles. But wasn't he also behind the slavery that took place? If he was behind the slavery that took place, so is the gratitude for the Exodus really so obviously, appropriate? Let's suppose somebody kidnaps you and locks you up in a little room in the forest, and he holds you there for 2 weeks and feeds you scraps and makes you balance the figures in his checkbook, who knows what. And finally the same guy comes after 2 weeks and says, I'm letting you free. I'm opening the door. Here you can go. Here's $2 for your bus fare. And I want you to celebrate this day and express your gratitude to me every year for the fact that I freed you from slavery. Yeah, great. But you were the guy who put me in slavery in the first place. Why should I be so thankful for you for getting me out of what you put me into? Yes, so he, instead of giving us 290 years of slavery, he gave us only 90 years of slavery. That's great. Okay. The guy comes and says, guess what? I was going to keep you here for 6 months. But I'm letting you out after a month. So you should be doubly grateful because I only made you work for a month. I don't know how impressed I would be. Yeah.
Well, we're not really thanking Hashem for the freedom anyway, since we now slaves, not the Egyptians, but slaves to Hashem. But we're thanking Hashem for maybe the good that's behind this, ultimately there was a good behind putting us in slavery.
The first point is not correct. In the prayers, it's called Zman Cheruseinu, the time of our freedom. I don't think you have to go that far. But now, he's taking a step down the road that I want to travel. He says, wait a moment. Who said the slavery was really bad for us? Who says the slavery was really bad for us? All right. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was running the world. The purpose of creation is chesed, loving kindness, right? All of it. All of it. All of it. The only purpose of creation is loving kindness. So, if we did spend time as slaves, that too must have been for our good. Couldn't have been just destructive. Couldn't have been just a loss. But now, this is for the Talmudic mind. Now the question comes back, flip side. What do you want to ask now? If the slavery also was for our good, then? Well, I don't know if being let out is certainly good, isn't it? But that's, now he's pointing out that not only is getting out of slavery good, but the slavery also is good. Yes? So? No. Yeah, see, it's when you get that kind of hat and those kind of hairs growing down over your ears, then you know how to think. Why not give thanks for the slavery? If the slavery is also good. I don't think we ever do that. We have no holidays to celebrate the slavery. To give expression for the thankfulness for the slavery. Indeed, all the bad things that happened, which we know, because of our hashkafa, because of our philosophy, we know that all the bad things that happen ultimately are for the sake of some good end. They're an expression of a Kaddish Baruch Hu's chesed, his loving kindness. But we don't give thanks for them. We don't express gratitude for them. the destruction of the first temple, the destruction of the second temple, the exile. The Gemara says, Mises Tzadiki Mechaperes. The death of righteous people, of holy people, atones for the generation. I suppose, in a way, that's good for the generation. Nobody gives thanks to the Kodesh Baruch Hu that great people die. It just doesn't happen. So, if these things really are good, and we know that they're good, why don't we give equally thanks for the so-called, maybe they are, bad things that happen, together with the thanks that we give for the obviously good things that happen?
Because it would be absurd with the negative emotions concerning slavery. Imagine having a festive holiday to remember the Holocaust. I mean, that would be absurd. And everyone has these down feelings about it. Some people are still alive to remember it. And it wouldn't be fitting with the mood of the people.
And do you have any evidence that how you feel should be taken into account here? I'm going for 2 gold stars now. You got one already? Let's try for the second one. Can you think of anything that you may have read or heard that could give you evidence that how you feel should be relevant here? I'll give you a clue. It was this week. Another clue. It was 4 hours ago. What did I speak about this afternoon? Yeah.
The idea that we're talking about wanting to ingrain certain behaviors, so we know the good feeling things are, and we celebrate them so that it's ingrained in us the desire to make other people feel good like that. Whereas we aren't necessarily able to judge how bad things might affect people, so we shouldn't go around pinching our buddies and go, that feels good later.
Yeah.
When it says, you have to be good to the orphan, you have to be good to the widow, you have to be good to the stranger. Why? Because you were a stranger. In other words, you know how the bad things felt. Don't put the bad things on the other people. So the flip side is we're supposed to feel bad so that he doesn't want that to happen to other people. He wants us to feel the good as a relief from the bad in order to know not to do bad to others, but to do good. So if we celebrated bad, we might start doing bad things.
That's a very interesting observation. Let me point out that it would still need more work, because this idea, not going around and pinching other people and telling them it'll feel good, it'll feel better later, it happens to be, not in exactly that form, but in the general idea, happens to be a machlokes between the Rambam and the Maharal. When you say that we should imitate God's attributes, God's characteristics, God has characteristics on both sides. He has characteristics of loving kindness, and characteristics of justice, and characteristics of revenge, Kirim Lekamos Hashem, right? Characteristics on the kindness side, and characteristics on the strictness side. When we have a general mitzvah to imitate God's characteristics, do they include the characteristics of strictness or not? The Rambam says explicitly that they do. They do include the characteristics of strictness. We're supposed to represent the Kodesh Baruch Hu in the world with, so to speak, the full picture. Maharal says no. Only the kindness side. So, for the Rambam, I'm still going to need a teretz. Right? Your observation will work for the Maharal, but it's not going to work for the Rambam. I'm still going to need a teretz, another teretz for the Rambam. Yes?
How does the Maharal investigate a judicial system?
Because he, what, say again?
How does he put forward a law system for
the... You see, we're talking now about another responsibility. There are mitzvahs, because Rambam says to do X, Y, Z, I do X, Y, Z. But in addition to all of those particular mitzvahs, there's a requirement to imitate and portray Kodesh Baruch Hu's characteristics. That which means going beyond the other specific mitzvos. So the Maharal says only on the side of kindness. And the Rambam says, no, you're representing Kodesh Baruch Hu in the world. Kodesh Baruch Hu is perfect, so all of his characteristics should have a place in the world. And you should do all of them. There's a famous difference of opinion between the Rambam and the Maharal. Yeah.
Just going back to when you were talking about when bad things happen, but I was also thinking it may not always be that it's the best, but Hashem has a very good reason for doing it.
What other reason would there be than that it is for the best?
Teach us something, maybe that's wrong.
And that wouldn't be for the best? That we should know that thing that he's teaching us? Yeah, it'll have to end up in the end to be something to it. Anyway, I think what he said is the answer, and I was hoping that someone would remember what I said at 3 o'clock. That may be vain of me. Right, we talked about emotions, right? We talked about the fact that emotions don't have to fit with the world to which they refer. That they can be a reflection of your temporary position. That we make blessings on negative emotions. We talked about that. Now, Hakar Zatov, gratitude is going to be the expression of an emotion. And when you are in the midst of the pain, when you do not yet see, when you do not yet feel the good that will come out of the pain, expressing gratitude is false. Because, although intellectually you know that something good will come out of it, you do not yet feel gratitude. I mentioned at the beginning that gratitude is a feeling. Gratitude is a feeling, not a judgment. It depends upon a judgment. It expresses a judgment, but it's a feeling. The feeling of thankfulness. That's what gratitude is. And the feeling isn't going to be there until you see the good that comes out of it. I've had this question for a long time, and this morning when I was at home, working on this, I looked up a pasuk, and it's actually in Isaiah 12, chapter 12, first verse. Thank you and acknowledge you, Hashem, because you struck me. And if you look up the commentaries there, they say, we're talking about a person who was sent into exile, and then was redeemed from the exile, and felt that Hashem was already comforting him after the exile. And from that point of view, after the exile's over, he says, I thank you and I acknowledge you that you struck me. Because I see now that the exile purified me and qualified me for your comforting, which I am now enjoying. And the Gemara Nida comments on that verse and tells the following story. There were two people, two associates, and one got an injury to his foot. And it was very painful, and he says, Hischil Lacharv Magadis, he started cursing and complaining. Sometime later, his friend's ship, laden with its goods, went down in the sea, and he lost everything. And then the guy whose foot was injured started to praise the Kodesh Baruch. Why? Because he realized now that he deserved some kind of loss. And the injury to his foot was, instead of losing his ship at sea, which would have been much worse. So, but then he came to be thankful for the injury to his foot. But not while it happened. Not while it happened. Only later, when he saw what it protected him from, only then could he look back and be thankful for the injury to his foot. Now, I think that Gemara, commenting on that pasuk, is teaching us the template. The template is that gratitude is a feeling. And you shouldn't pretend. You don't have to masquerade. You're not going to feel gratitude for a pain until you see the good that comes out of it. You may know that good is coming out of it, but knowing and feeling are two entirely different things. I always say when you have the sports coach and he's a vicious anti-Semite, and he makes you practice twice as much as everybody else. But you win all the races because he made you practice. While you're doing the extra push-ups, you do not feel any gratitude. When you win the race, you feel gratitude. You feel gratitude that, of course, Baruch Hu arranged it that way for you, or however you want to put it. You feel gratitude for the pain. Or if he isn't a vicious adversary, it just doesn't make you better, but he makes you work hard. And it's painful. So this is the difference. The gratitude is an expression of feeling, and the feeling will only be there afterwards. I mentioned to you this afternoon, I'll repeat it now, and then I'll take your questions, and I have to go. Nochum Ishkamzu. Nochum was a man who did a crime, and he himself acknowledged it as a crime, and he called upon himself terrible curses. Terrible physical curses. And every one of them came true. And he did so because he felt he deserved a terrible punishment. Somebody died because of his negligence. He felt he deserved this kind of punishment, and he knew that by undergoing this kind of punishment in this world, he could save himself from punishment in the next world, which is much worse. This was his way of cleansing himself. So he called it down upon himself. And everything that happened to him, he said the famous words, Gamzu Zatova, this too is for good, by which he expressed his acceptance of everything that happened. Asks Rav Tesla, when each terrible thing happened to him, what blessing did he make? Did he describe God as Hatoba Meiti, the one who is good and does good? Or did he describe God as Dayan Ha'emes, the true judge, the judge of truth? Which blessing did he make? He who called it down upon himself and knows that it's going to be for a kafara, it's going to cleanse him, and who said Gamzu Latova, this too is for good, everything that happened, what blessing did he make? Says Rav Tesla, he definitely make Dayan Ha'emes. He made Dayan Ha'emes, the judge of truth, or the true judge. He didn't make Hatova Meiti. Because knowing is one thing and feeling is another thing. And you can't feel it. You cannot feel it that way in the midst of the pain. You can know it, but you don't feel it. Later, when you see what the pain leads to, when you see the good that comes out of it, then you can feel it. And then the gratitude is genuine, because gratitude is a feeling. Yeah?
So if gratitude is a feeling, when the Jews left Egypt and went over to Mount Sinai, when they received the Torah and they got Israel, and it seemed like they were living the high life, had everything they want. Wasn't there a single time there where it was after the fact and they could see the benefit of Israel?
Yes, so what are you asking? Well, I think at that point they could feel gratitude for the slaves.
So should we feel gratitude for the slavery now?
I think that's right, sure. Because only through the slavery could we come to receive the Torah. Well, I think at the... Well, one thing at a time. We talk about feeling gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for putting us through the period of slavery. When you sit down at the Seder and you tell the whole story, and you tell the story of the slave, of being enslaved, and then the story of leaving Egypt, I think all of it is told with an attitude of great gratitude. I don't think that's right. I think that the attitude of telling the story at the Seder is an attitude of gratitude going from the beginning to the end. It's not, oh, these terrible things happened, but it turned out well in the end. I don't think that's the attitude that's being expressed.
It must be reading it
wrong. I don't think that's what it is. Yeah.
Is this how we understand David HaMelech? Is this applicable to David HaMelech and the trials and tribulations that he went through?
100%. Here's what I heard from Rosika Shalevsky. Well, I had the merit to learn from him for a year, and then in subsequent years when we meet. Ani omarti bechofsi kolo adam kozev. I said in my haste, man does not fulfill his promise. Because in his early years, David HaMelech was put in circumstances where he felt he had great potential that went unfulfilled. But, the verse says, I said this in my haste. And the succeeding verses are verses of great exaltation, great thankfulness to God. Which means, as we've seen, squeezed out of me, that he changed his mind. He changed his mind. He went back and he saw all of the terrible things that he suffered as a child and as a young man. All of them were stepping stones to the greatness that he achieved later. So he went back and re-evaluated, changed his mind, and was able to give thanks for all of it. Old Hashem, Ki Anavta Bi. Right? That's what Yeshaya says. I thank you and I acknowledge you that you hit me. But I thank you after it's over. After it's over and I see the good that comes out of it.
He wrote all the Psalms?
No. No. King David edited the book of Psalms and he also wrote many of them, but there were 9 other authors before him and he brought them all together and he wrote many of them himself. Okay, that's an introduction to the idea of gratitude.